Greetings, everyone. It is now time for Marked Safe, tales of your very favorite and most beloved man-made disasters. On Marked Safe, we discuss events and details that some may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Please listen responsibly. And now, here with your hosts, Brianne and Melanie, this is Marked Safe.
Hi, Brianne.
Well, it finally happened.
I know.
The day that all podcasters dread.
It. I was so nervous for you.
I've been worried about the day. And God, I just jinxed myself with the headphones, so maybe I should be careful. I've been worried about the day that we would be recording an episode and then at the end would realize that it hadn't actually recorded or something.
I really hope that never fucking happens. Do you have some wood?
Do I have some fucking plywood? Knock, knock.
Knock, knock.
That just happened to my favorite podcast, Let's Go to Court, like really recently. And I've been terrified thinking about that. But as far as I know, it didn't happen. I'm looking at my sound waves and they look good. But the other thing did, called all my research deleted into the void.
I feel like that's worse.
I don't know. Maybe, yeah, probably, because, I mean, you're going to spend more time rewriting an entire episode than you would re-recording it.
Yeah, and I would love to chit-chat with you twice.
I know, but that really stresses me out because I feel like I would worry so much about, like, reactions to things and jokes seeming, like, inauthentic because we've already done it once. But no, I was working on my research for this last night, finishing up. It was just about done, and my computer started acting a little weird, a little laggy. I had saved it again and again. I save after every paragraph. And I saved it again, and then I restarted the computer. And then when I turned it on and opened that document, it was empty. Completely empty.
Fucking 2020, man.
Yep. Not like the document was gone, so maybe I could, like, dick around in the recycle bin or something. No, it was there. It was just dead ass empty. I don't know. I logistically, I don't even know how that happened. I mean, I've been computering for, what, like 20, 25 years, and I've never really seen that particular thing happen before, but it did.
So I bet it shows up tomorrow in some weird random place.
Oh, God. Well, I rewrote this today in 9 hours. I hope it's still good. So before we get into it, how are you?
I'm good. I have a lot on my plate, but I'm good.
Tell me about your plate.
Well, our house closing date got pushed back again, which is really frustrating considering we put a notice on this where we're living now.
Yeah.
And so we will officially have less than 24 hours to move out of here.
Oh, my God. How is that working out? Like, were you able to get it extended a little bit? Or
well, we initially said that we told our rental management that we were going to be out of this house on the 5th.
Yeah.
And then our closing date got pushed back to the 9th. So luckily, they were super accommodating and nice, and, you know, they gave us some grace. But then it, like, I don't know, it just keeps getting pushed back, and I'm like, what the hell? It's just, it's really.
So where is it at this point?
At this point, we are definitely supposed to close Wednesday.
Okay.
Like, we received our, like, the final documents and all that stuff. We just, you know, then they have to give you, like, a 3-day grace period to look over them.
Yeah.
So hopefully nothing terrible happens, but like I said, it is 2020, so I'm not gonna hold my breath.
I've got a popsicle stick for my kids here that I can knock on.
Yeah, it's
knock knock.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm just ready to get in, and, you know, we're moving to a different parish. So the parish we live in right now, they start school Monday. the place where we're moving, they started school last month. So essentially my kids are missing out on a whole month of school because the district wouldn't like make an exception. Awful.
And how many of your kids are actually like in school?
Two.
Okay, the oldest two.
So it's not, I mean.
That sucks.
It really sucks because it's just, and the guy was such a chode about it too because he was just like, he was like, you know, people move all the time. You know, this is not a special case. And I'm like, well.
Really?
You know, my kid also missed like half of the school year last year.
Yeah, because of a special case.
Because of a pandemic. Like, I don't. And they started off the first part of their school virtual. I'm just, give me the fucking code. Let my kids learn some shit, please.
Yeah, like, that's outrageous. I would be livid.
Yeah, so I don't know. They're good kids and I'm sure they'll bounce back. They'll get ahead.
They will. They will. And they've got you for their mom. They'll be fine, but I'd still be pissed.
Yeah. I'm just ready to be in my house and see if we did our final walkthrough. I am maybe a little
the bodies gone?
The bodies are gone. There's no more barrels. There's like 60, I'm not exaggerating, like I'll have to send you a picture. There's like 60 like empty gallons of paint. Like, I'm hoping this person was like a painter as a profession, because that seems like a lot of paint cans to have. But we did ask him to remove them because, man, those things are a bitch to get rid of. We spent hundreds of dollars getting rid of paint cans in our Oregon house. I don't know. Is this a thing? Like, people just collect paint cans?
I don't know.
And you can't just
toss them. When we moved in
them.
Here, there were like four in the coat closet.
It's weird.
Jesus.
Yeah. So there's lots of paint cans. I did go into the little demon loft. There was a bunch of dead wasps in there.
Of course there were, Melanie. Don't sound so incredulous about it.
So, well, when we first did the walkthrough, there was, you know, we're Louisiana, so you get pretty much every bug, and there was a big old cockroach. And so I was like, well, I'm just going to go in, I'm going to climb this ladder, just make sure everything's still legit. And Ava's just hanging out, you know, at the bottom of the ladder saying, hey, mom, is my little dead friend still up there? I'm like, that's so weird. Don't talk like that.
Oh, no.
I'm like, yes. And your little dead friend has even more winged dead friends.
Oh, hell on earth. I need to know if, like, demons and shit can come through the phone. Because if you start acting weird, this is over.
What
like
would...
if we go to record and you start speaking Latin or something, this is fucking done.
I was going to say, what
podcast farewell.
But this is me. So what constitutes as weird?
Weirder. Different weird.
Different weird. What if I was just...
I'll know it when I see it.
Or hear it.
Or, yeah, I guess I won't probably see it. I'll know it. I'll know. I've got a finely tuned sense for these things and I will know.
Oh my gosh. I just want to get in. I want to get settled. Spooky season's here. I'm ready to decorate. I have my Carol Boneskins almost done. I need to finish her flowery. I'm just ready to decorate for Halloween. I feel like I'm getting the shaft.
If you get on the Skype call and I say, oh my God, or Jesus Christ or something, and I hear sizzling on the other end, I'm not over this. Okay. Carol Boneskin, can we double back to that?
Yeah.
Tell our listeners about Carol Boneskin.
Well, unless you've been living under a rock, I'm pretty sure everybody's seen Tiger King.
I think it's more like an if you've been living under a rock thing. Like, it was there for those of us living all together under our rock.
And that was like the beginning of the pandemic. Didn't that feel like it was like years ago when that came out?
We were so innocent.
Oh my gosh.
We were so innocent that it was all baking bread and Tiger King. And now, like, we're running out of shows. All that our like local drive-ins have is Australian movies because Australia has their shit together so they can make movies.
That's really cool, actually.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, so I've just been spending my days, because I do a theme with my skeletons every year. Like last year, I kind of did like a beach day with my skeleton. Remember the Hawaiian shirt and the skeleton flamingos I made?
Yes, I do. So I don't think I knew that it was all part of a larger theme, but I vividly remember the skeleton flamingos.
Yeah, so this year I'm doing Tiger King, and it's beautiful. I got her wig. I know that doesn't really make sense, a skeleton with hair, but
I think it can happen. I've heard of it happening. I listen to a lot of true crime.
And I got some kitty cat skeletons. I really wanted to get some big fat tiger skeletons, but I can't find them. I can find everything. I found an octopus one, which is fucking weird.
Ooh.
But like no tiger. So if you guys happen to stumble across a tiger skeleton, please let me know.
I bet somebody will.
Yeah.
The horrible ghouls seem like the people who would have their finger on the pulse of tiger skeletons.
Man, they're the best. I'm like, I just love them so much.
I know. Well, let's tell them a story.
Ooh, what are you doing today?
I'm not going to tell you.
You're not going to tell me?
I'm just going to tell you the story.
Really?
I'm not going to tell you the subject.
Oh.
Until we get to it.
I like
I should do that more often. I'm getting into suspense as an element that I like.
That's... No, I like it.
Okay. Well, I mean, you'll know. Well, unfortunately, you'll know in about two sentences. Anyway, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. On February 28th, 2013... at 11 p.m., 37-year-old Jeffrey Bush was asleep in his bed in the home that he shared with his brother Jeremy in Sefner, Florida at 240 Faithway Drive. The brothers were only a year apart in age and both worked in maintenance. Jeremy, his brother, was not asleep. He was getting ready for bed. But if he had been, what happened next would have woken him up for sure. Mm. A crashing sound coming from Jeffrey's bedroom.
Oh.
Followed by a scream. It sounded like a car had hit the house. He ran into the room, followed by his two-year-old daughter, Hannah, and his wife, Rachel, and turned on the light. What he saw would change the rest of his life. It wasn't Jeffrey asleep in his bed. It wasn't even Jeffrey, or a bed, or a dresser, or a TV.
It was a demon.
No. It wasn't even a bedroom.
What?
It was a hole.
Are you doing a sequel?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes! Finally!
Melanie, people die. Calm down.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a sucker for a sinkhole.
Oh, well, sinkholes are suckers.
Okay, I'll suck real... you. Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. That was good.
I know.
I'll reel it in. I apologize.
It was a hole. And the TV cable ran from the wall into the hole. Jeremy could see the top corner of his brother's bed. The sinkhole was about 6 feet deep and about 20 feet wide.
Mm.
Now, also, just as an aside, a bunch of people lived there, but I can't completely find anything that clarifies who they all are. I know that it was Jeffrey, the guy who was in the bedroom, his brother Jeremy and Jeremy's wife Rachel, their daughter Hannah, Rachel's dad, and I think a couple more, but I'm not clear on who those people are, but it's not super relevant to this. But it drove me crazy that I couldn't clarify who all exactly was involved,
right.
So I just wanted to put that out there. All Jeremy could see was dirt and plumbing, but his brother had to be in there, so he jumped in and started using his hands to dig, searching for his brother, but he couldn't find him.
He fucking jumped in?
He jumped into a fucking sinkhole, yes.
That is...
Put this guy up there on the Iman McIntyre wall.
That's some big balls.
So, he couldn't find him. His father-in-law brought him a shovel to dig, and his wife frantically called 911. And said, the house just fell through. The bedroom floor just collapsed and my brother-in-law is in there. He's underneath the house.
Mm.
Everything that had been in the room had been sucked into the earth, including Jeffrey. Jeremy said, I couldn't get him out. I tried so hard. I tried everything I could. I could swear I heard him calling out. Minutes after the collapse, a sheriff's deputy showed up, entered the house, and pulled Jeremy out of the sinkhole. He hadn't even realized it. He was trying so hard to find his brother, but the sinkhole was continuing to crumble. And when they left the house, it was the last time anyone would ever set foot in the house on Faithway Drive.
Oh my gosh.
Rescue teams immediately convened at the house to determine if there was any chance that Jeffrey had survived and how to go about either rescuing him or recovering his body. They lowered a microphone into the hole and listened for him. And his family stood in the street watching as the foundation shook and the microphone and equipment were sucked into the hole in a second collapse.
It sounds like a demon.
We've got demons on the brain.
Sorry.
That could be a red flag, Melanie.
I should stop.
If I think you're possessed, I will abandon you. You need to know. You need to line up a priest over there because I will hightail it out of here.
We need a safe word, like bubbles.
Bubbles. Okay. Wait, is that the...
That's a code word.
A demon's got me code? Or is that like you say bubbles to prove that you're still you?
Exactly.
That one?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, then maybe eventually our listeners will find out in a podcast when you don't know the secret code word that you... have been possessed. Oh, okay.
All right. So, okay, microphone's so the sucked in.
Sucked in. There's another collapse. Later, a video would be released that would show the room. The floor was gone. The furniture was gone. But the walls, weirdly, were still intact. And, like, there were hats and high visibility jackets because he worked, like, along the highway. And shelves just still hanging normally on the walls. So fucking weird. So the next day, Friday, engineers evaluated the scene, said there is no way. No, there could be more collapses any second. It was very unlikely that Jeffrey had survived, and trying to recover his body would just create more bodies to recover. They said the ground was too unstable to even attempt. It would have been like diving in quicksand.
Oh.
And I feel like as an engineer, you may not be prepared to have to be the one to make life or death calls like that. I'm not saying they were wrong at all. I'm just talking about like the emotional toll.
Right, exactly.
You know, when you go into like first responding, you expect that and hopefully have some coping strategies, but like do engineers?
I don't know.
Maybe they do that all the time. They're probably like structural engineers, so maybe they do. I don't know. But later, you know, to some extent, the family would end up pissed and everyone was just saying, well, we did what the engineer said, and like that, like, one hand shrug emoji.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I wonder if they were prepared for that.
It doesn't sound. Probably not. I couldn't imagine that they would be.
No. So they stopped the search that night, overnight, because it was just too dangerous. So then Sunday, the search for Jeffrey was officially called off. They said the hole was continuing to grow, and they expected the house to collapse at any moment. The official said the sinkhole was very unusual in terms of size and instability. It had started out about 6 feet deep, but would you like to guess how deep it was now?
The Hellmouth?
Guess how deep the hole is now.
It was six, or you said 6 feet at first?
Yep. 15. It started out six. More.
25.
More.
50.
More.
God damn it. I went to Price is Right, and I was not good there either.
Did you really?
Yeah. I didn't get called up. I wasn't crazy enough, I don't think.
It was 60, I'll just tell you.
60?
60 fucking feet deep.
Yeah, nope.
No. So they scheduled the demolition of the house for the following day. Jeffrey and Jeremy had just moved there about a month earlier. The owner, Buddy Wicker, was told that they would be raising the house and... agreed that it was the right decision. He said, it was hard. There was a man down there, but we didn't want anyone else dead in that house. We already lost one person. Why lose more?
Right.
Which, yeah. And I believe he was somehow related to Jeremy's wife, Rachel. Someone had been at the house just a couple months before that to evaluate for sinkhole risks.
Really?
Because of insurance reasons. So, like, there are things they can do, and they had checked, And Jeremy said, and a couple months later, my brother dies in a sinkhole.
Okay, so that's a thing?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're getting into the sinkhole business later in this.
Okay, I won't jump the gun on that.
Okay. So no other homes have been damaged, but the neighborhood was evacuated on the first night. This has so many weird parallels to the last episode I did, which is not intentional at all. After that, they realized that the houses on either side had been compromised, and the families were given 30 minutes to gather their belongings. And I think I used every single one of those last four sentences in my last episode.
What would you grab? About
Richmond Hill.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, you did. Yeah. That was literally what I was about to ask you. Like, that's what I'm thinking. You know, if I came in and I had 30 minutes, and I'm assuming that, you know, like, family and pets and everything alive is out. Let's see. I want to say my favorite houseplant, but that's stupid because it's not even a rare one. I can just buy another one at Walmart.
That is... Yeah, you gotta get something other than a houseplant. I love plants, but...
I mean, I would definitely grab my family photos.
Right.
My wedding ring. I guess, I mean, yeah, I should grab our important documents, like birth certificates and everything. Thankfully, those are all in one place.
Yeah, and that's a big deal, too. I mean, if anyone's listening, like, put your documents in a Ziploc bag, you know, and make it accessible. Because a lot of times with, like... Especially with natural disasters, you know, to get that relief you need mm-hmm. like, not having those can seriously hinder you getting stuff. So just pro tip from me on that. Yeah.
Seriously. So, I mean, I guess I would get our important documents, which are all in one place. My family photos and, like, memorabilia stuff is all in one place. So I'd grab that. And then, I mean, I guess I would just have to go through the kids' rooms and try to kind of grab whatever comfort items or really important things that they would want that would make them feel more normal.
Like normal and safe and...
Yeah, like, you know, their favorite toys or whatever.
Yeah, I get that. I get that totally.
I don't know. What would you do?
I try not to... I don't have a ton. Like, I'm not really attached to a whole lot of things. There are some things that I've been gifted from the aunts, Aunt Beta and Aunt Carolyn, some quilts, some really old quilts. I would definitely grab those. And then there are a pair of, this is really random, there's a really old pair of shoes. And I can't wear them. They don't fit me. But they're from my Aunt Carolyn gave them to me. And they are, it's got a village car. They're like wedge heels. And they have they're wood. And they have a whole village carved in the heel.
Oh my God. That's cool. Send me a picture of those. That sounds cool.
They are gorgeous. I love antiques so much. So, I mean, that's probably stuff that I can't replace. Everything else can just go. But those, like... Those family things, I'd have to have those for sure.
Yeah, that's why you and my mom get along so well. You know how she is.
Your mom has the coolest shit.
Oh, God. You need to come here someday, not even for me, just to take a tour of her apartment because it is so cool. And she just painted her bedroom. Now it's cooler.
I know. I saw.
Oh, did you? I didn't see that she'd posted it. Yeah, it's freaking gorgeous. Anyway. Okay, so where was I? One of the neighbors said after the sinkhole that she was having nightmares, where she was checking her house for cracks, and they'd basically gotten their affairs in order just in case and had moved their important documents into a storage unit. Now, I don't know if this could potentially come off rude, but I don't mean it that way, but like, why? Because, I mean, a sinkhole is just as likely to happen at your house as the storage unit, isn't it?
Maybe it's like a PTSD or...
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, like, it feels like the right thing to do. But logically, I mean, why?
Yeah.
It's random. It could be anywhere.
Right.
So you're just as likely to be sleeping in your house and your fucking storage unit gets taken. In the very next paragraph of the article where I found that, they quoted a geology consulting company as saying, there's hardly a place in Florida that's immune to sinkholes. There's no way of ever predicting where a sinkhole is going to occur.
Oh, so, shit. Yeah, I didn't know
literally
that.
Literally the next paragraph. Yeah, we're getting, like I said, we're getting into that shortly. So the house got demolished. The team worked when they could to bring the rubble as close to the street as possible whenever they could so that the family could gather their items from that. So county officials said that they believe Jeffrey had been, quote, sucked into the water table beneath the surface.
The water table?
Yeah. There's a lot of spooky geology in this. And might eventually wash out into a nearby river.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot to know about sinkholes. An environmental scientist and sinkhole expert disagreed, saying that he was likely in a 60-foot watery void between the sinkhole and the bedrock, trapped in sediment, which, wow.
What I don't a know if fucking anyone weird really thing need... to argue about.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone really needed that description, but okay. Maybe you
that's like some
professional should have that conversation privately.
That's like some on-Earth, like, interstellar shit.
Yeah, because it's like some as above, so below shit. I mean, that, wow. I don't ever want to hear a rap battle between those two. Holy fuck.
I kind of do.
You're right, so do I. Fuck. I mean, oh, God.
Do we have any horrible ghouls that are, like, rappers? Because maybe someone could put it together for us.
Oh, God, I don't know. That's horrifying. So about a week later, a representative for the sheriff's office said that there were, quote, no environmental conditions inside the sinkhole that could sustain human life, and along with the opinion of the medical examiner's office, Jeffrey Bush is presumed deceased. And by then, the sinkhole was 30 feet wide and 100 feet deep.
Holy!
Which, in case you are wondering, maybe I'm the only one who has no concept of scale, that is as deep as a 10-story building is tall.
Yeah, that's a... Wow.
Yeah. So, Jeremy was less than impressed with the rescue efforts. He said they did nothing, they just left him there. He did acknowledge the risk to rescuers' lives, but said, I felt there was a chance to do something. They didn't.
Well, I mean, he fucking jumped in.
I mean, yeah, like, argue with that guy. He addressed his brother in a news conference and said, I tried my hardest to get you out, brother. I think I'm the only one who really tried to get you out. They said the ground was too unstable to do anything, but they got all this heavy equipment on there, pulling stuff out, and everyone's cheering for everything that's coming out of the house. I've had enough of the cheering.
I don't fucking blame him.
Fair enough. He said his mom was waking up hourly crying and that he just wanted to get his brother out. And you can't blame him at all. There wasn't a combative relationship between Jeremy and the first responders. He just wanted some closure for his family. He gave a statement and said, I want to thank everybody. God bless everybody for what they've done and what all of you are doing for us. I thank everybody. The reporters, the firefighters, everybody that's been here doing what they're doing. And I mean, I guess I can see both sides of that. I mean, if it really is that dangerous, you know... I mean, I get that, but on the other hand, I can see where, you know, he's standing on the sidewalk watching this and he would be over it. So
I don't know. It's hard to think about because, you know, just on the surface, it's irresponsible to be like, you know, I'm willing to give up my life, you know, for my sibling, you know, and potentially now you have two deceased.
Yeah.
But then I think about my family.
Yeah.
And I would totally put my fucking life on the line to make sure that I would do anything and everything I could.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think ultimately, I mean, yeah, without a doubt, I would do anything I could. But, like, would I necessarily want other people to put their lives on the line to recover a body? I mean, it would fucking kill me to leave my loved one down there, but I think he did get that. It's just a lot. I mean, you can't blame people for any of this.
No, it's a weird gray area for sure.
Yeah, it's awful. So the families, and again, that same thing kind of came up in my last episode. I should have put more space between these two. I didn't realize it until I was up to my ears in this episode that parts of it were like line by line the same. So the family said their goodbyes at the perimeter of the lot, and they left flowers and a teddy bear, and I want to talk to you about that.
Mm.
I do. Okay, so this is kind of similar to my thing that came up in the last episode about like hashtags and ribbons and stuff.
Right.
And I just want to be clearer than clearer than clear. I am in no way criticizing or mocking or in any way impugning any one grieving person and whatever they choose to do, or anyone at all. I'm just curious, as in a larger, like, societal way, why, what's with the teddy bears? Why everyone seems to go to teddy bears?
I don't know.
Like, it seems to come up with people who you would not necessarily associate with teddy bears in life.
I don't know. Maybe it's kind of like that paternal feeling, like, yeah, you know, he was an adult. In this situation, he was an adult, but it was still, you know, somebody's kid.
And I mean, I'm not like, oh, and then this dipshit left a teddy bear at the prom. Oh,
I'm just
at all. I'm just like,
no,
wondering.
No, it is a strange thing.
Yeah. Like, there's here in the city that I live in, there was a shooting like a couple months ago. And I have not followed this story closely, so I'm really just talking about, like, my most general impressions of it, and I could definitely be talking up my ass. But some young guy got shot, and I heard it was over drugs, and, like, I saw a picture of him, and he just looks like a young, kind of, like, skater boy kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, a little memorial to him where he was killed, which, not saying anything about that, that's totally understandable, but it'll have like Monster energy drinks left at it, which seems in
that's
character
more
for
yeah
him.
That seems more,
but also like stuffed animals and cherub statues.
Mm.
And I mean,
that's weird. Yeah. There's got to be like some psychology behind
yes,
it.
I'm glad you understand what I'm getting at.
No,
I'm,
yeah,
like,
no, I know.
Do whatever the fuck you need to do. I'm just wondering why that's what people go to. I mean, God, I hope I never have to personally find out. I'm just
because it is a go-to. It's not a one-off thing. It's something mm-hmm. that you see over and over, and it doesn't matter, you know, what state you're in. I would mm-hmm. even wager country. It is very common, and I don't know if I would have ever thought about it until you brought it up, but that is so strange.
And I mean, it seems logical, you know, when it's a child or something, but I assume that at this point, it must just kind of be one of those
like a
things
comfort
that's
thing?
Just become a ritual.
Yeah.
Like, you know, your loved one dies and you're just like, well, what are the things that people do? I mean, I guess they're doing it for a reason. Maybe it helped them. Maybe it'll help me. So you just kind of do it? I don't know. It started somewhere, though.
I'm going to have to dig into this.
Yeah,
there's got to be a Reddit subthread about
you should. I did a deep
memorial
dive about roadside crosses once a few years ago. Because I wondered why. Like, you have roadside crosses there, don't you?
Oh, yeah. It's there's one local. Right okay. next to my house. And then there was another one in Oregon when we lived there that had been there for many, many, many years. And, you know, no one had an issue with it, but the city came in and tried to take it down, and it was a huge deal for the city.
I hate that. Leave people alone.
Yeah, it's like, and where it was at, it wasn't fucking bothering anybody. You know what I mean? So it's just, I think it got sucked up into like a church and state situation.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And everyone's Stop. Like, that. They're like, that's not what this is. That's something completely
no,
different.
Jesus Christ.
So,
yeah, I got to wondering, I remember a few years ago, why there are so many and they all pretty much look exactly the same, but you never see white roadside crosses for sale somewhere. Like, where do they come from?
I think they make them.
I don't think they do. I think that there turned out to be an answer to that question. And I actually think I may have asked in our old mom group, so I may have to look it up and see what the answer was.
Okay, yeah. But well, let's find out.
I think
out.
There was an actual answer to that. I will look into it. It's weird. I just, yeah, I wonder about...
See, they make sense to me because when I'm driving and I see one, I like, it's just a reaction. I slow down.
Yeah. I usually genuflect when I see one. And I get that. I mean, it's a memorial. It makes perfect sense. It's basically like a grave. But yeah, I'm fascinated by the kind of the things that people do, like the
when grieving,
the hashtags and the, yeah, when grieving and the stuffed animals and the, ribbons and that kind of thing. It's just, it's kind of odd, random stuff that everybody does.
Well, and I think it's okay to ask and question it. Like, I don't think it's disrespectful to have.
Yeah, I just want to be clear. Curiosity. I'm not making fun of anyone or judging anyone or anything. I mean,
I
get it
because
I don't necessarily get it. I'm just curious about it, like in the larger sense.
Yeah.
Not what any one person is doing, and I mean, I don't care what you do. Do whatever helps you. If it's not hurting anybody else, knock yourself out.
Hey man, when demon guy takes over me and I get knocked off, I'll take the teddy bear. Bubbles.
Okay, thank you. So speaking, this is a nice segue into the sinkhole business.
I like how you say business.
It kind of is. They are very common in Florida. And my sister lives in Florida. I don't think she listens, but I guess I don't know. And now I need to check in with her and see about what the sinkhole situation is in Sarasota, where she lives. Basically, there are underground caverns all over Florida. And everything underground is basically made of limestone, which is soft and porous and really easily
malleable.
Eaten away.
Yeah.
So the acidic groundwater soaks under there, eats away at the limestone, and then when it gets too eaten up to support whatever's on top of it, whether it's a bunch of dirt or somebody's house, it just collapses.
Mm.
And the county that Jeffrey lived in, Hillsborough County, is called Sinkhole Alley based on sinkhole insurance claims.
Whoa.
Between 1954 and 2013, which is, I don't know, like 57. I can't math. I'm not even going to try that.
Don't ask me. Me neither. And
why am I even doing it? Like, you people, it's 54 to 13. You know. Anyway.
Hey, yeah, write in. Let us know what that math is, okay?
Don't. No.
Now I want to know.
They had more than 500 sinkholes in that county in Florida during
500?
That time period. 500? More than 500. And not in Florida, in that county.
Oh my gosh, I went to Sinkhole County and all I got was this lousy shirt.
Oh fuck. You're horrible. So.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is actually state law in Florida that homeowners have to have sinkhole insurance, which I had no idea about.
I wonder how much that is.
I don't know. I'm definitely going to ask my sister.
I need to know.
I'm going to have a lot of questions for her about sinkholes. I don't know if she even knows.
Sinkhole insurance.
Exists.
Like, I had no idea that this was a thing.
It is. It is required. And then that's why they'd had that guy out to check out the house. I guess, like, there are ways that you can have stuff checked out, sort of, to see.
We gotta ask our Florida
moms if you're
moms.
At risk. Yeah. I mean, they have to. They have to have the insurance. It's state law.
That's insane.
Yeah. An expert said about the Faithway Drive sinkhole, the condition that caused that sinkhole could have started a million years ago. And
well, that's
if that
creepy.
Doesn't give you a little existential crisis, I don't know what will.
Holy chain effect. I don't like that at all.
I don't either. Nope.
Eek.
Oh, I didn't look up whether there are any sinkholes where I live. Hold your horses.
I know that there was a sinkhole in an adjoining state where you're at.
Which state is that?
In Kentucky.
Indiana sinkhole map. Sinkhole map indicates that there are multiple sinkholes here. What?
There's a sinkhole map?
Apparently. Let's see. Okay, this is too much to quickly look at. I don't know, but I think we might have sinkholes?
I would say yes.
Just because you want to say yes, or why?
I mean, if something happens a million years ago, I don't know. Maybe you guys are, like, prepping for one.
Oh, it says the karst sinkhole areas in Indiana are developed in relatively well-cemented dense carbonate formations. Most of the sinkholes in Indiana are obvious and are not problems for construction unless a structure is sited on too steep a slope or the sinkhole's been filled in without the builder's knowledge. Apparently there's like some kind of whole thing called the karst sinkhole areas. I don't know, and I don't think anyone wants to listen to me researching this live, so.
There was a really big one back home, because we have the Corvette, you know, like the car, Corvette Museum in Bowling Green.
Oh, yes, I saw that a lot when I was researching this.
Yeah, that was crazy, because they had a Facebook Live of that. Was it Facebook? I think it was Facebook. Anyways, they had live coverage, a live feed of that, and I was glued to it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, there was one in, I think, either the 80s or the 90s, I think the 90s, and I wanted to delve into this and make it like a side thing for this, but then the computer ate my episode, so that didn't happen. But I read that there was one that took, like, a bunch of stuff. I don't think it was the car place. I don't think it was the Corvette place, but it did say it took a bunch of cars and it took half of an Olympic-sized swimming pool.
Oh, wow.
Which, whoa, half of it? That's worse than a whole one. Imagine how spooky that would be.
Yeah.
Imagine apparently actually swimming? Dying in one is super rare. Oh my god, and then there's a sinkhole. Oh. No.
I think I just came up with the disaster that I don't want to ever be in.
Wow. Ooh. Yeah, so I looked up the city my sister lives in, and apparently they have one there that's so infamous it's a tourist attraction.
So. Oh, I love the roadside stuff. You link me on that.
Okay, well.
I'm pretty close to Florida. Maybe that's where we meet. Can we meet at a sinkhole attraction?
Sure.
I bet they do have t-shirts. I know you laughed at me, but I bet they do.
I'm sure they do. And then you can meet my sister, who is very cool and quite a character. And a lot like you, actually, now that I think about it.
I like it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. She's very sociable. So, time passed. Jeffrey's body was never recovered. No homeowners moved away other than the ones whose houses were condemned. Jeremy and Rachel had to stay in a hotel for 6 months and then temporary housing. While they were there in their temporary housing, a fucking sinkhole opened 2 doors down.
Wait, from where they were at?
In their temporary housing. Rachel said they felt like it was following them, and how could you not?
Holy, no.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all.
Yeah, no. I don't have any information about whether that was, like, a big one or anything. I don't think it affected them in terms of any property damage or anything, so it was 2 doors down, but, like, holy shit.
That's a mind fuck.
So, Jeremy and Rachel bought another house in the same neighborhood. The area was fenced off. Trees were planted and a plaque was placed. The hole was filled with 4 truckloads of white gravel. A neighbor said, "It looks really good, almost like a nice park. Too bad we can't go in there and play."
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, I'm reading this in text, so maybe that wasn't the tone, but.
What kind of tone would you put that in?
I don't know. I tried to think of, like, lots of different inflections or ways of saying, like, that, and I can't
sarcasm
think of any that
or
yeah, I can't think of any that aren't a little gross. That same neighbor said that he wasn't afraid of sinkholes before it happened, and he wasn't afraid of them after, because what do you need to be afraid of? God's in control.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say it. Stop. I'm a Christian. I'm not knocking the man for his faith, but what the fuck exactly are you saying? Screw Jeffrey, God controlled him right into a 100-foot sinkhole, but you'll be fine?
It doesn't work that way.
No. I'm not saying live in fear, but I will never get behind the rhetoric when someone has died that you're crediting God with the fact that you didn't. Like, what is the logical endpoint there?
It's really rude.
I don't like it. I grew up in a Christian church. I'm an Episcopalian now, which is a Christian denomination, but I can't find the answer to that. And I don't think that throwing God into your reasoning gives you a pass on being an insensitive asshole.
Yeah, that's fucking rude for sure.
Yeah, I hate it. There are so many ways to conceptualize loss and randomness and senselessness with a religious framework that aren't this. Like,
and it's the same guy that said about, too bad we can't go in and play. Yeah, uh-huh, yeah, that guy's, no. Yeah.
Like, praying for courage or peace, yes. The belief that living a Christian life during the time that you have feels so right and fulfilling that the time or manner of your eventual death doesn't concern you. Taking comfort in the thought that the dead are united with God now. Like, some of that resonates with me personally, some of it doesn't, but I respect all of it. I cannot respect the belief that some shit went down and God threw his favorite life preservers and you were one of the lucky chosen. No,
it's super problematic.
Yeah, it is. It brings me back to the very first episode with the stage collapse where the band's manager said that they were saved because they were in a prayer circle when it blew over, but I guess everyone else was shit out of luck.
You keep poking that Sugarland bear.
God knows who's going to sue me for this one. God knows. Probably some evangelical religion.
No, God does know. God is suing you.
Fuck.
You are speaking on his behalf.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I never wanted this to happen. I really like God. You should have thought twice about starting a podcast with me. This is a theology podcast now. You're welcome.
Hey, God, anyway. It's me, Brianne.
Your episodes are never this controversial.
I know.
They're Sweden. Never controversial at all.
Or is it Switzerland?
I think it's supposed to be Switzerland.
Math, geography. I don't know. I'm fired.
At least you don't pick a fight every single time you do an episode. And now,
you know what?
I'm not picking one with God, but I am positive there are sects of Christianity that I'm definitely picking one with.
No, but I think I'm just a pussy. I try to get out of the, I need to do better about this. I'm that personality where it's like, I like genuinely like care about everyone and I probably shouldn't. And I definitely let, you know, people hang out in my life a little bit longer than they should if they're toxic, but I like, you know, I do that thing where it's like, I don't want to make anyone mad and I don't even, it, who cares? Right. And
I don't know. I used to be more that way. I used to be really that way. I don't know when I stopped caring.
I just get real, I don't know. I'm sensitive by nature.
I know. And I worry because I think that you give several more fucks than I do. I don't want to drag you into controversy with me.
I did post an article about the Trump boats.
I know. Were
you proud of me?
I was. I'm not going to lie. I was surprised. And proud.
Oh my gosh. I could not stop laughing. I don't know. God,
I've known you for years and I really don't even know, like, your politics. I could guess some, but I really don't know for sure. And God knows, we're like 15 episodes in and everybody knows mine.
I don't even know, you know, I registered to vote. I know that Trump is like fucking terrible. I can't believe anyone voted for him in the first place.
If we lose some listeners over that, I bid them adieu.
Okay. I hope they leave us a nasty review because please, I think that's probably great marketing.
Yes. I think some reviews that say that they hate us because we don't like Trump, that would be a nice accent in our reviews. That would knock our rating a little bit. But if you read the reviews as a whole, I think that would actually be an endorsement for the listeners we're looking for.
Yeah. You know, I'm just a simple person, you know.
You are a good person. You are like the kindest, most pure person I've ever met.
Aw, I just want everyone to be happy. I think we all should be kind to each other. I really think we should always help our neighbor. And, you know, I'm not even saying like, I don't care what your political affiliation is. I really don't. But I do think that, I don't know. I'm not for cancel culture, you know, anymore. And I feel like there's no good debates anymore.
No, I know. And I hate that.
And I feel like, you know, our political climate right now is so polarizing and it should have never gotten to this fucking place.
No, it absolutely never should have. And it's at a point right now where it's almost like a choose a side thing. And if it's a choose a side thing, I know damn well what side I'm on, but I would still like to have more conversations with people.
Right. And it just makes me sad because everybody's so different. And I really wish that it was easier to, like, we are in a political climate where it was easier to embrace that. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
No, it does. And I completely and totally agree. So,
everyone, be nice to each other.
I'm thinking so strongly about rainbows and cake, Mean Girls, girl. No. in a good way. So, 2.5 years later, I told you Jeremy and Rachel bought a house back in that same neighborhood. Jeremy visited the site every day still.
That's rough. If they're living together, I imagine they're super close.
Yeah, I mean, you would think. I guess, I don't know, I've lived with someone once in my life that I was definitely not super close with, but he certainly seems to have loved his brother. He said that the family considered it Jeffrey's grave, and Jeremy felt like one day it would probably open again. And after 2.5 years with his daily walk-bys, it seemed like the rocks were shifting.
Oh my gosh.
And one morning, a woman was walking her dog through the neighborhood and heard something. She called 911 and the sinkhole had opened again.
She fucking knew it.
Uh-huh. 17 feet across, 20 feet deep. This time the other houses weren't at risk. The engineering firm who had dealt with the first hole said that it was designed to happen.
What?
I think that they mean that basically they knew it was inevitably going to open again, but they had designed, they had repaired it in such a way
where it wouldn't hurt.
That when it did, there wouldn't be, you know, adjacent lots damaged and there wouldn't be any loss of life or anything. And
it's not a major calamity.
Yes. Yeah. Like they knew it was going to happen, but I guess they had planned for it to happen in that way, which honestly, not to get too philosophical, but I really think that is a way that people could stand to think about things more.
Right.
That shit's gonna happen. It's coming, like a harm reduction standpoint. So they filled it again, and that was that, at least for now.
That was insane.
Yeah. I really wanted to have like a little highlights reel of some other crazy sinkholes that have happened, but then the computer sinkhole ate my story. So,
oh my gosh, it totally was a computer sinkhole.
It was. It really was. So maybe someday I'll do a compilation episode on that, because you know how I love compilation episodes. And I have
I've kind of kept
my pants on and not done one for several episodes.
Okay, so I've actually like kind of missed your little compilations. Like I feel really? Like it's been a long time. Like I don't know. I love them so much. So I was actually, we don't have to do this on air, but I'm going to do it anyways. So spooky season's here. Like, I really want you to like do a compilation, like a Halloween compilation of something.
Something.
Of something. I have some ideas.
Okay. So, since we're on air, let's see. I have a list of things I want to cover, and unless there is something very specifically seasonal or something, I like to just randomize from the list so I don't just do all my absolute favorites first.
Right.
And I'm looking at my list right now, and I just randomized, and I came up with the St. Pierre Snake Invasion, but it's an old-timey one, and I feel like you should do it.
Ooh, send, like, text me. I forget stuff.
Okay.
A snake invasion?
Yeah, let me see when that... Oh, apparently there's a band that is called the St. Pierre Snake Invasion also.
Oh my gosh.
But I think... Yeah, no, it was... Oh my god, I don't want to know about the band. I want to know about the event. I'm trying to see what year this happened. I think it was... Okay. All I can find is the band. Thanks a lot, band.
Well, we'll cover it. We'll definitely cover it. Especially since it wasn't that long ago. I had that big-ass snake that wouldn't let me leave the front door. Remember? Did you see the picture in the mom group? The one that was like...
Oh, I forgot that was you.
Yes, there was a huge snake, and it was coiled up my door, and I had to go, and, you know, I'm like, this thing's going to eat all my kids. And so I'm like sending pictures to the mom group, like, I don't know what to do. So I called the non-emergency police line. I am that person. Normally that stuff doesn't bother me, but this one, like, snakes. It was just menacing. Like, you're not allowed.
No, I remember I saw it.
You're not allowed in my house.
No, no, no.
Yeah, this and this cop happened
in 1902, and it involves 6-foot serpents and foot long centipedes killing people.
That's right up my alley.
I'm gonna do it. Melanie written all over it. Oh my god, the audio guy the other day. I am terrified of snakes. Like every snake, even the littlest snakes.
I feel like we're working on a list.
Yeah, I feel like we've hit every single thing on our bingo board this week.
I think we have to.
I definitely shouted at my mom. Let's just throw a sorry Aunt Veda out there because I've definitely said the F word a lot. And been very controversial. Okay, so I'm terrified of snakes. And we really don't much have them here. I mean, I guess they're here, but not a lot. And, like, you don't really need to think about them. I'm sure they're out in the wild somewhere. But, I mean, I've lived here for pretty much 32 years, and I have never seen a snake, ever. So they're, as far as I'm concerned, functionally not here. They're definitely really not regularly coming into your house.
Out of sight, well, out of mind.
Yes, definitely. Although they're not out of my mind. I think about them constantly. So the other day, I'm in the kitchen. The audio guy comes in and says, hey, have you ever seen a shed snakeskin? And I was like, why? I mean, I'm sure I have, like, in a pet store, but why? And he's like, I found one. And I said, in our fucking house? And he's like, yeah, come look at it. And I mean, I had moved out in my head by the time I got there. Like, it was done. I will not live somewhere that there might be a snake in my house. It will not happen. Like,
I've had a snake in my house in Oregon. Mm-mm. I'm surprised it hasn't happened here in Louisiana. Like, because we've had also armadillos trying to come in. And
armadillos are fine. I mean, I'm sure they're not fine, but they're fine as far as me being horrified.
Well, they're cute as heck. That is for sure.
Well, some people think snakes are cute as heck, like my daughter.
Anyway. Well, I love snakes. I really love snakes.
Melanie, but of course you do.
But I don't
even have an amygdala.
I don't want them coming in my house without permission. It's like the whole vampire thing. Like, you know, like, I don't want anybody showing up at my fucking house unless you're, like, invited. Like, just don't do it. Don't, like, I don't care if you're a reptile or if you're a human. don't do it. No,
I agree. I agree 10 times more about snakes. I'm a very rooted person. Like, I hate the thought of moving out of my state. I had a lot of hesitation about moving out of my city because I was worried about leaving family and all that. It turned out pretty good. We're close enough that we can still see them a lot. But like, I am not a person who just goes where the wind takes me at all. I am very rooted. But if I look down at my roots and one of them is a fucking snake, peace out. I'm gone.
So anyway. How do you handle, like, because there's...
It was tape, by the way. It was tape.
It was the kids tape. Had pulled it wasn't some skin.
No, it was not skin. It did look like skin, but the kids had pulled a bunch of tape off of the tape thing, and it had been on the ground, so it probably had like dog hair and dust on it, and it was just all kind of like in a mound, and it really did look like a snake skin, but I almost died. Okay, so what were you about to say?
I was going to say, I know we already checked the mom group off our bingo board, but like, there's a lot of us that like the reptiles and the bugs and the stuff like that. Do you just like, how do you handle that? Do you like just scroll really fast? Did you see I'm specifically talking about, I don't know if this was on her main page or if it was in the mom group. Did you see Jennifer posted the tiny snake and it's like the size of a quarter?
I can deal with pictures of snakes if they're not too menacing.
Oh, it's the one, it's like,
I don't cute. Think I saw it, but I can deal with pictures of snakes. I hate to even scroll by a picture of a spider, which is terrible because every time we've got a major wolf spider problem here, and I just ordered, which I told you about, Mitchell, the spider that's hiding in my living room.
Did you name your fucking spider?
No, Eric did.
Is that to make it not as menacing?
No, it's because these wolf spiders are so big, it feels disrespectful not to give them a name. They're
Mitchell,
entities.
He couldn't come up with a better name than Mitchell?
I don't know. But he named it Mitchell. Did you miss the Mitchell debacle?
Did I? I don't know. I have a lot on my plate, so it's very possible. I'm usually on top of this shit.
Yeah, well, there was one in Adelaide's room, and it was the playroom, and we were cleaning it out to be her room, and that was a whole thing. And then there was one in my living room, which was supposed to be sacred, because they're usually only in low traffic areas. Mm-hmm. So I can kind of, like, trick myself into thinking that as long as I stay out of the closet or basement or whatever, I won't see it. In the living room, walking around, on the side of my coffee table. It went under my coffee table and like stuck its legs out and made crude gestures at me. across my rug.
This sounds like the cutest spider ever.
I picked up what it's not. It is huge. I mean.
And this one's Mitchell or Mitchell's a different one?
No, this one's Mitchell. They probably have a 3 or 4 inch diameter or like leg span. It's massive. So I picked up whatever was closest, which was a candle, like a big glass jar candle. It was brand new.
Did you fucking murder Mitchell?
I threw a candle at Mitchell.
Oh my God.
I threw a candle at Mitchell. I missed him by like 18 inches. I think if the candle had landed on the rug, which was my intention, it might have been okay. But no, I missed and it landed on concrete and it shattered everywhere.
That's why you're buying new candles?
No, well, that's one reason. And thank God this is just a cheap Walmart candle. So that was a bust. It
literally
just yeah. You have so many bad puns. I love you.
Sorry.
No, I love it. Let me tell you what this MF-er did. He turned around, got tall, and charged me.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that.
I didn't know spiders did that, but I looked it up and apparently wolf spiders do that.
That's very aggressive. It's like, chill out, Mitchell.
Yeah, and they do bite and they are, I think, venomous. They don't do it unless they feel threatened, but I mean, throwing a glass jar candle is definitely threatening. So
yeah,
he charged me.
You threw the first punch on that one.
No, he did by with the crude gestures. I've never in my life seen a spider move that fast. I never wanted to know that charging was like in their interaction menu, but it is. And then I lost him under my entertainment center, which is very frightening. And then a day or two later, the audio guy and I were sitting on the couch and here comes Mitchell out from behind the entertainment center. And they are... Like, they're solo guys. They are, I don't know, what's the word? They live alone. They're
not in a wolf pack.
Oh my God. No, they're lone wolves. They're lone wolf spiders. They don't, they have a territory and they live there alone and they hunt at night. So now I can never doze off on my couch at night again. And it's like, that's what happened with the one in Adelaide's room, is we saw it and we were like, well, it's still in here somewhere. And we knew we would eventually come across it. And then when we were switching it from the playroom to a bedroom, I reached my hand into a box and there it was at the bottom of the box.
That's just, I don't like surprises.
No. But I mean, was it really a surprise? Because we knew good and damn well it was in that room. And that one, like the first one in her room, we stomped it with a boot. We smashed it with a broom. Two different dogs picked it up, chewed on it, and spit it out. And it was not like, it didn't even slow it down. We had to take the box outside and dump it out. And then Eric stepped on it, put all of his weight on it, and like did the twist your shoe back and forth thing. And when he picked his shoe up, it just sprung out. Like, it wasn't even damaged.
I decided what I'm coming back as in my next life.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And that is how we will meet for the first time.
Oh, no. I'll throw a candle at you. I have not learned. He said it didn't even, like, crunch when he stepped on it. He said he felt it crack. But apparently not that much because, I mean, this thing's almost legit the size of a tarantula. Adelaide calls them tarantulums. I love her.
Oh.
I know. It was almost the size of a tarantulum. Well, actually, she saw it first and she came and got me and said, wow, there's a tarantulum in the playroom. Come see it. And she thought it was delightful. I was like, if you love it so much, kill it.
Oh my gosh. I love it.
Yeah. So, yeah, long story short, that one has a relative named Mitchell and Mitchell is still living in my living room and we will meet again. I know we will because we lost him again the second time. I think that as much of this episode has been me talking about spiders as my actual story. But that's a disaster. It's all right.
It's definitely a disaster.
Google wolf spider size and tell me if that's not a disaster.
I'm going to flood social media with spiders and sinkholes.
Oh, the whole point that I was saying is that I got some spray, which is supposed to work on wolf spiders. So I can do that. I can't step on them, but I can spray them. But all of the spider spray ones, you know, whether it's something where you see the spider and you spray it, or it's like the preventative kind that you put in your corners, they all have life-size photorealistic pictures of spiders on the bottle. I hate it.
Oh my gosh. It reminds me of the time I bought this can of Crisco. I mean, it's not bugs, but it's got, you know, the big cherry, delicious looking cherry pie on the container.
Yeah.
And Abby was like 2, I think. And we were unloading groceries and she like ripped it open. And you've never seen heartbreak like a kid opening a can of Crisco and realizing that there's no pie in that container.
Oh, bless her heart. Oh, no. I'm glad there's no spiders in that container, though. I think they do it to sell spider killer, because if every time you, like, see it, you think about how scary spiders are, you'll be like, I better buy 3 more gallons of this just in case.
Yeah, that this makes sense. My theory. Yeah, a lot of theories, this one.
I do. I do. Okay. Well, good night.
I loved it. Thank
Sweet
you.
Sweet dreams after I'm gonna go all
look
that.
Up, I'm going to go look up some snakes.
No, look up sinkholes. Oh, no, do look up that snake invasion. Good luck not finding the band. Look up the snake invasion 1902. Actually, look up the eruption of Mount Pelee. P-E-L-E-E. Okay. You know what to Google. Good night.
Good night. Hey, Horrible Ghouls. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you would like to share your personal MarkSafe moment, you can send it to us at MarkSafePodcast@gmail.com. Please give our podcast a rate, review, and subscribe, and tell your buddies about us too. That goes a long way. If you want to further elevate your support, check out our MarkSafe Patreon page, where we have shoutouts, goodies, and some bonus content in the works. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks again, and as always, stay safe.